This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's get back out to you, Mike in Hayward. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
How you guys doing? You know, I would say that Jimmy Butler is who he is. In Miami, was not loyal to him. He got him to the playoffs. He spoke out against. Okay, he got a right when he deserves to get the money he's supposed to get. Okay,
Mike, your phone. We'd love for you to call back. Give us a call back if you can. John Bloom, the voice of the Suns. In about 15 minutes, let's go to Manly Man in the city. Hey, Manly Man, what's up?
Hey, not a whole lot. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Jimmy just has to attack the basket more so he can get to the free throw line, and that's how we benefit greatly. Secondly, I think if we do a high double screen for Steph to get him open shots, that will help as well, too. Got to stop the turnovers. That's crazy. And there was a wrestling match on Sunday and not a basketball game. I could not believe the calls. And the flagrant one that Draymond got was unreal. And I don't know if you guys have been watching Willard and Dibs. Kevon Looney, his feet, his heels never touched the floor when he made those two threes. And tell me what you guys think about the turnovers and what it's going to take for them to win the next four games, because I think that's key for the playoffs.
Manly Man, thanks. I think turnovers are obviously always key. Jimmy Butler has come in and literally made that the focus of what he's trying to avoid out there on the floor, number one. I think that that's right in line with what Steve Kerr has been trying to get across to his team for years. Turnovers are a part of Steph Curry's game because he's so brilliant. You're able to get away with some, but there are clearly times where that's gotten frustrating for the organization as a whole at times, as the team has become a roster that's less overwhelming than it's been in the past. So I think Jimmy coming in has sort of renewed their focus on it, and they've done a good job. They did not on Sunday, and it's why they lost.
Yeah. And it's not as much about the Houston defense. If you want to look at all 20 turnovers in that game,
not all
at
of them,
least,
no.
I don't know about half of them, but at least 40% of them were just absolute slop. And it was Draymond with, you know, lazy long passes. And I'm looking at some of the ones that Pods committed, just a one-handed whip bounce pass. And when you play against a good defensive team, it's challenging everything. You can't be reckless with the ball. And, you know, you played the Jimmy comments earlier, and he pointed to that. The very thing about turnovers. And so if you are Jimmy Butler, a guy who's very Puritan with the ball, you're not going to give it away a lot, then go ahead and get on the ball more and run the offense through Jimmy. Doesn't mean he has to score, but if turnovers are an issue and Jimmy Butler doesn't turn it over, then go get the ball, Jimmy.
Yep. I think that's largely what they do, especially when Steph is either not on the floor or is not hitting his stuff. This is the comment to which Dibs is referring. Asked if he needed to be more aggressive with his shooting on Sunday.
Maybe not. My thing is, I'm going to make the right player majority of the time, probably like 9 out of 10 times. So if I get in there and draw help, I'm going to kick it to the open guy. But I'm not going to say that anybody scoring was the reason that we did not win this game. I'm going to stick to turnovers. You know, we had 20 of them. It's going to be hard to win in any basketball game if you got 20 turnovers.
Woo, I buy that answer. Good Lord, I buy that answer for whatever it's being offered for. I buy that answer. Maybe, maybe not. My thing is the right play. I do it 90% of the time. I like that he only said 9 out of 10 because even he's acknowledging, yeah, sometimes maybe you're going to drive in there and you probably should have shot it when you kicked it. I mean, that's hindsight's 20/20. But Jimmy Butler largely makes the right play. I completely, having watched him now play basketball with the Warriors for a couple of months, I wholeheartedly agree. I think he makes the right play. I hope he keeps making the right play. It's led to the Warriors winning almost every time he suits up. I just don't have an issue there. There's plenty of things with Warrior basketball where we could come up with issues. Jimmy Butler's sort of conceptual approach for me is not one of them.
I don't hate what he said, but he does say maybe, maybe not. And, you know, then he goes on to say that I try to make the right play and I do 90% of the time. But sometimes it's okay to make what is not necessarily the right play in the interest of you trying to get to the foul line or you trying to pick up the scoring slack. And what he mentioned about 20 turnovers is right. And I'm looking at the game log. They are 0-6 this year when they turn it over 20 or more times.
Yep.
And I see 5 games where they turned it over 19 times, and they're 3-2 in those games. So
that 19
or more, the 20th turnover. Yeah, you're 3-8.
Who got the 20th, do you know? Who got the last one? Because that's who lost the game.
You know who it is,
right? It wasn't Jimmy, was it?
The chef!
Yeah.
The chef.
Yeah.
Down 11, 2 minutes to go, dribbled it off his leg. And I will say this about...
I remember that one.
Yeah, and it was, you know, him trying to...
Looked like a Houston Cougar out there.
Well... Kind of, and except, you know, he didn't jump Lord. And then let the ball go.
No, I think it was the previous possession where the cat dribbled it off of his shin.
Great defense. Right out of the Florida guy got the hand in.
Both teams played great defense last night, but right. My God.
Yeah, pay Houston. The under, as I mentioned yesterday on the program.
What was the number?
It was 140.
Oh, God.
I think it was 140.
Close. Okay.
Yeah, and that thing was Ottoman. But Steph last night, 4 turnovers and... by the end of the game, like this one I'm talking about, the 20th turnover, part fatigue and part like, I'm sick of like trying to get a three. I'm going to the basket and he's dribbling it and he just dribbles it off his leg.
Yep.
It was a tough one. He got harassed all night.
It was a tough one. Nick in Pleasant Hill on Weathered and Dibs. Hi, Nick. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
We got you.
So, I guess... I don't know. I feel like there's a double standard that Dibs runs for Steph Curry versus Jimmy Butler, first off. It's like when we brought Jimmy in, we were, what, an 11 seed, 10 seed? And basically, we wouldn't be where we are right now if it wasn't for him. And when it comes to Steph having a bad night, we never say, oh, why hasn't he become him? Jimmy is supposed to step up when Steph's off. If the whole team's off, the whole team's off. So I just don't see how... Jimmy's supposed to be the one to step up when everything he's done so far is the reason why we are where we are. They both get paid. They're the top 2 paid players on the team. So I just don't see why we always come at Jimmy, same way we used to always come at Kuminga. It just doesn't make sense to me. I can take the comments off the air.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Nick, thanks.
Get
Appreciate
his number.
It.
I'll call him later after the show. I'd love to.
It is. It is.
To talk to him.
No. It is. It's sort of an interesting question from the perspective of it somewhat sounds like the fans who are agreeing with you, you're only asking Jimmy to do this in select moments when Steph's not playing well. And it's like, it's not a switch that he can just flip. It's not, that's not how life works. He can't just be like, oh, Chef's having a hard night. So let's stop running the offense through him because he can't get it going. I'd argue no. You keep pushing on that as long as possible to see if he can hit one and get himself going. But B, it's not like Jimmy can just decide, okay, all right, Steph's having a hard time out there, so it's time for me to like activate, go find a phone booth, change outfits, and come out and take over the game. I don't think it works that way.
It doesn't, but I'm just looking for Jimmy to be the Jimmy that he's been throughout the majority of the Warrior games that he's played here, where he shoots the ball between 12 and 15 times. He's more forceful, and he gets to the foul line. And forget the fact that Steph was having a bad night, although you could see it at the half. When Steph is 1-for-3 at the half, you can kind of see that Houston is taking him completely out of the game. No matter what, they're going to make sure that they top lock him and they take him away. So come out in the third quarter and be more assertive.
Let me ask you that. Let's say you were Steve Kerr and Steph Curry is 1-for-3 at half. What are you telling your team?
I'm telling my team that Houston is obviously defending him in a way that he's going to have a really hard time. So let's try to run other things, other actions for other people.
Interesting. See, I would not say that at all. Knowing that Steph Curry is the type who can put up 30 points and a half.
Right.
Like, we're not.
So let's just beat our head against the wall to try to free him against a defender face guarding him all over the floor.
It's not beat our heads against the wall. It's make an adjustment to get our best player going. It's like.
But what's the adjustment?
I don't know. That's what the professionals do very well. Right. Steph has done this a million times in his career where you're not going well for a half and then you get it going. And I can't sit here and tell you what the X's and O's are of what they tried, but I know that my thought would not just be defeatist, where I'm like, well, Steph's 1-for-3, so that's the end of that. Let's do something completely different with different players. No, like, I would be hell-bent on how can we unlock Steph, as opposed to just, like, giving up and being like, well, we're not going to be able to get Steph going tonight, so we have to do this with someone else.
Well, you can do both. You can try to unlock Steph while also, you know, encouraging your second best scorer to actually be forceful and impactful and try to score.
Those of you on hold and want to weigh in, stay where you are. We're going to get to you. 888-957-9570. Greg Anthony's about an hour away, part of the TNT broadcast. Coming up next, the voice of the Suns. What's actually going on in terms of what kind of a fight this team can put up tonight in a game that the Warriors have got to have? All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? It's Willard and Dibbs.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that my man Mark? Is that my man Dibbs? The best boys in town.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's your boys. That's how it goes. And scoreboard watching is officially underway. Big night in the NBA.
Association.
And the Memphis Grizzlies are already up by 9 in Charlotte.
Come on, Charlotte.
That one's not going to go well.
Show up, Charlotte.
Well, you got a lot of teams not showing up. Let's find out if the Warriors opponent is going to show up tonight, because our very good friend, voice of the Phoenix Suns, John Bloom, joining us on the River Islands guest line. Hey, buddy, how you doing? What kind of fight is are your boys going to put up tonight?
Well, first of all, good afternoon. happy to be with you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
More happy about the release of the Giants City Connect uniforms making the debut. That's what I'm pretty stoked about. I'd like to change topics. Are you noticing something here?
Yeah, I noticed.
I like it. It's a hijack. Yeah, it's a John Bloom hijack.
Do you know that this is controversial? Are you saying that you like the Giants City? And by the way, people don't know, John's a Bay Area guy. You're a big Giants fan. You like the City Connects?
I absolutely love them. After I read kind of the reasoning for how they incorporated purple, first of all, think about me, right? I mean, I'm an orange and black guy through and through. San Mateo High School started it off. Go Bearcats.
Let's go.
But then from there, it was the Giants. You know, it was the Giants in my blood from day one that made me orange. Then I go to Syracuse and become even more orange.
Yep.
And then I become the voice of the Phoenix Suns, who I've been a fan of for 30-something years. So orange is like mainstay, but purple sneaks in there with the Suns. It's never been part of the
he got things as far as I'm concerned. But then I did a little reading, and I realized that way back in the day when they were in New York City, they repped purple as a violet as part of the connection with NYU, because, you know, they were called the Violets. I'm glad that I don't know anybody that was ever called a Violet. That said, I'm excited about it. I like the little tie-dye look to it. I like all the little details, and I did already order one, and it is arriving tomorrow, and I'm pretty fired
That's
up.
Incredible. Yeah, and you mentioned Violet, and my late grandma, Grandma Vi, was Violet, so I'm partial to Violet, but John, you laid it out beautifully, and just the detail of it, there's a psychedelic influence, music genre, glove patch, NYU, so...
This is about Jimi Hendrix and the Haight-Ashbury, boys. That's what this
That's
is about.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and I love it. I mean, I mentioned tie-dye because that just kind of wraps up that whole genre and day and age that obviously played such a role in the growth of the city that we love. But, you know, it also, and Willard knows this as well as anybody did, I'm a music absolute freak. Like, I, if it wasn't sports, I'd be all in on music, and I still kind of am in a way. And so, yeah, the fact that there's a little tip of the cap, if you will, to that history means a lot to a longtime Giants fan.
Yeah, and a nod to the 60s, and obviously the Haight-Ashbury and lava lamps as well. And I can picture you down there in San Mateo as a teenager in early 90s with your lava lamp and, you know, maybe some other stuff going on. And I could see you definitely feeling these kind of vibes.
Don't turn Peter Frampton on next to this guy. You'll lose him. You'll lose him for an hour and a half. He'll end up down the street in a van down by the river.
Totally.
Builds character, though.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
All I mean, those days.
City Connects aside, I want to go back to Mark's first question, which is, are you guys showing up tonight? Because, boy, it'd be nice for the Warriors to get a win. What kind of a Suns team are we getting tonight, John?
I thought I successfully dodged that one. All right, let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. They've lost six straight. They've lost virtually all hope of making the play-in, which is just still absolutely perplexing to all of us that are around this team. Bewildered, all those words that come to mind. Kind of reminiscent of the way you guys were feeling when I visited you last, when the Warriors were right around 500, and then the Suns went out and put a whooping on them in the city by the bay. And that was only, 2 months ago. That was 2 months ago. Yeah, I take that back. That did kind of fly by. Anyway, regardless... Boy, how things have changed. And now, you know, the Suns are a mess. I mean, that's really the only way I can put it, guys. Devin Booker's playing his butt off, as always. Kevin Durant's been out the last three games with an ankle injury. He's obviously not going to play tonight. It's curious to see whether he plays any more the rest of the season. After tonight, there's a possibility that if the Mavericks go out and win tomorrow, it's over. They will not have a chance to make the top 10, and they'll be mathematically eliminated. And, you know, like I said, I think I may have talked to you guys months ago about how disappointing the season already was, and they were over 500 at the time. Now here they are, eight games below, and bound to miss the top 10 in the West with the highest payroll in the history of the sport.
Six-game losing streak, all of them by double digits, a lot of them by a lot of double digits, but it was a tough stretch of games, too, when you look at who they were playing, Boston twice, Minnesota, New York, Houston. I get that, but I guess, just to dive a little further into what you expect tonight, you're right, Devin Booker is playing well. But is there a lot of want to left with these guys right now, or are they just like, let's get this week over with?
I think, to be honest with you, Will, I think the want to level has been low all season relative to what people expected and wanted to see from this group. I think, you know, when you look at just where the shortcomings have been defensively, energy wise, 50-50 balls, holding opponents off the offensive glass, not turning it over, all those things that come from hustle, they were short on. And that was a thing that, you know, kept occurring all season long. Now you can point to whether that's effort or is it detachment from the message from the staff and the coaches. Maybe it's all of it. You know, maybe that's really what it is when we're all sitting here racking our brains trying to figure out what the problem is. You know, I think there's just too many of them. And, I think it's leading to probably another big shuffling of the deck for, the Phoenix Suns coming up in the offseason.
And when that deck gets shuffled and we saw Michael Malone get fired today and a team that is top four in the West and Phoenix is 11 and with a loss. Dallas likely going to be out of the playoffs? Is that shuffling going to include not only new players in and out, but also possibly a coaching change?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is possible. I just hope not the radio guy, right, Dibs?
Right, yeah, sure.
Let's keep that guy. You know, let's keep that guy in place. He wants to do it for a little bit longer. give him a shot. It's a beautiful thing that we don't get judged on wins and losses, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody, Michael Malone, come on. Michael Malone, really?
Have you ever seen anything like this? Like the play, like it's not just Malone. I mean, you got Taylor Jenkins in Memphis. I'd ask you this, John. Like, what does that actually say? Because I don't really know what led to all of this, relationships with stars or whatever. But what is it? What's running NBA locker rooms right now?
It's crazy. And now we're just going to go ahead and do it like with a week before the playoffs start. Like, you're going to make a move like that when I was just telling people I think the Nuggets could represent the West. Now, I know that's going to piss Warriors fans off a little bit, but I just think Jokic is still the best player in the world. And so when you've got that guy on your team, you got a chance to make it all the way. And at this point in time, you know, obviously I was saying that before it looked like Jamal Murray's injury was more serious than it is, and now they've lost four straight, and then they fire their coach. What the heck do I know? I just think it's a crazy business. I think that coaches, you know, obviously the value of a coach is different depending on what owner you talk to. Some owners believe that, you know, the coach's value, I guess, isn't that high, and others are going to stay loyal no matter what. And it's a fascinating study.
Yeah, and you look at the stability of Golden State, and you had Bob Myers, and it turned into Mike Dunleavy, who was his assistant, and it has had a lot of continuity here, which I do think has great value. And I wonder about Phoenix and, you know, where the Suns go going forward, because Mark and I, John, had this big debate last summer about can they go forward with this big three, and Mark didn't think they could, and I thought they could, and I was right, but I was also kind of wrong because they went forward with the big three and it didn't work out. So what's the pivot point for Phoenix with Bradley Beal in a no trade and Devin Booker, a guy who wants to be there, and KD, who, you know, has kind of been bouncing around?
Yeah, I think the only thing we know, Dibs, is that they don't want to trade Book, and that Booker doesn't want to go anywhere. So that's the consistent message. I know I've been telling you guys that for years, that he's just, you know, Phoenix through and through. He just loves this community, and they love him right back. And as great of a hooper as he is, he's an even better dude. And so that all mixes together and means if you know what you're doing running the franchise, you don't give up on something like that. That means that much, you know, akin to a Steph Curry to the Warriors. I really believe that. And now I'm not telling you Booker is the player that Steph Curry is, right? You understand kind of where I'm referring to on this?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is his meaning to the community and what he's done for this team, minus championships, which obviously is what this franchise, this fan base wants more than anything, because I was just in Boston looking up at 18 banners, talking to those massholes and saying, why can't we just get one? Why can't we just get one?
Oh, man. John Bloom is the voice of the Suns, joining us on Willard and Dibs 95.7 The Game. Warrior fans are knee-deep in what they're doing right now, and obviously Jimmy Butler has worked out and all that, but I still think there's at least half an eye on what happens with Kevin Durant going forward. Do you think that he can still be a central figure on a team that matters?
Yes, without a doubt. That dude is still the Durantula. He's still the Slim Reaper. He's still the easy money sniper. He's still all those things. He's still a little dramatic online and you know, all that stuff too. He's gonna, you know, kill some trolls on his downtime. That's just something he's gonna get after. But at the same time, I mean, I feel so lucky to have called his games the last couple of years. I debate in my head, you know, about the trade that brought him here, which obviously broke up a team that went all the way to the finals with Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson and company. And that's a heartbreaker right there for Suns fans. It's become something they're going to think about for a long time. But instead of dwelling in regret, I like to think about the positives and getting to watch that dude hoop for the last couple of years has been amazing. He is one of the all-time greats. He deserves all the accolades. I would love for him to stay and finish his career as a member of the Phoenix Suns. I'm interested to see what they do. And obviously, if they get a good enough offer, then maybe they do turn the page based on how disappointing these last couple seasons have been.
So for Warrior fans who haven't been totally focused on the Suns, we know about Booker and Beal, but who else, John, should be keeping an eye on tonight as the Warriors get ready to head to the desert for a big one?
Yeah, you know, obviously Devin Booker's been leading the charge. He's looking for a little bit more help scoring-wise from Beal, who was out for 8 games with a hamstring issue before he just came back for the last couple. Tyus Jones has been shooting the three really well. So has Royce O'Neal. And Royce is back in the starting lineup. Tyus Jones is now coming off the bench for the Suns. And you might recall, I thought that he was going to be a real key to this team's success this season. And it was surprising that it just didn't work out with him. And a lot of the time, he was off the ball. And I felt like he's the guy who should be on the ball the way he's performed, being, you know, a leader in assist-to-turnover ratio for now 6 straight seasons in the NBA. So, you know, again, I think there's a lot of things that we look at with this team, and you could look at the rookies. Ryan Dunn's in the starting lineup. He's from Virginia and has been excellent two-way player, is really good defensively, is growing into his offensive game. And, you know, I think it's just a case of, I'm fascinated to see what the Warriors look like in person with Jimmy Butler, because this will be our first look at it. There are a lot of Suns fans who are pining for Jimmy Butler to be here.
Yep.
And you might recall a lot of the rumors had him coming here and had this being his top spot and his desired location. So it looks like Plan B is working out okay for Jimmy.
Pretty much, yeah. I think Jimmy was one of those people who was pining to end up in Phoenix. So John Bloom, voice of the Suns, with us. John, what is your view on the Warriors' chances in the postseason?
Look, if this group's healthy, then I like it a lot. Based on, and in the beginning of the year, I remember we were calling kind of Steve Kerr the mad scientist a little bit with how he was doing his rotations. But I read into it, and I realized that what he's trying to do is figure out who he can trust in what situations, and I trust him. And so if he's got the full deck that has been put together right now, I think you got a great chance. Like I said, I was picking Denver. What the heck do I know? They're going to have a brand new coach who's never coached before running the show. They still got Jokic, and I think they're going to be, you know, tough to deal with. Oklahoma City is everybody's pick to flame out. I'm not picking them to flame out. Someone's going to have to step up big to beat the Thunder. I really believe that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And they've got the Lakers again tonight here coming up in just about a half hour in a game that we've all got a good eye on. All right, John, have a great call tonight. Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks for having me, fellas. And, yeah, let's a toast to the city connecting those behind it. Kudos to the people coming up with that stuff.
It starts with a win tonight. Got to remember now, the Creamsicles were winners. So,
those were untouchable.
Yeah, you got it. It's one thing to be like, here's what they look like. I care about, do you win in them? So better win that game tonight.
Let's get some more dubs. Keep it going.
Let's go.
Jets.
All right. There it is. Thanks, Johnny.
Jets.
Yes, sir. John Bloom, voice of the Suns, joining us on 95.7.
And high school homie of yours, one of your closest friends.
That's my best friend.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's my best friend.
Yeah, we always have to make sure that the audience knows, because he's a great interview and he's a big time radio play by play voice, but he's also your best friend.
Can I actually, now that he's gone, I get to share something about why I'm so joyous that the Suns have fallen apart this year?
Because you actually hate your best friend.
Exactly.
You're down on Bloom.
No.
I love John Bloom.
It's because I love John Bloom.
Yep.
So all of us turned 50 this year, or are about to turn 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a trip to an undisclosed location with as many of us as possible and our significant others,
okay,
that will be happening at some point next month. When we were in the planning phases of it, like, that's the date that worked for the most. But John was going to be left out because at that point, well, the Suns are probably going to be in the playoffs, because that looks like the 3 seed to me, Bob.
So we're looking at like a May 10th or
a little later,
somewhere. Okay.
A little later.
So
little
like
later.
I'm just trying to say like Western Conference Finals-ish.
Maybe a little bit before it.
Late anyway, second round, early conference finals.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's kind of a quickie. Like, I'm only going to miss a couple shows. But point is, he couldn't go because he had to at least allow for the possibility that the Suns were going to be involved in it. But guess what?
Yeah.
He's in.
Well.
He's in. They're out. He's in. I'm stoked.
They're not yet out.
They out.
I mean.
They out.
The math is there, which is one of my favorite things to say.
Oh, my God.
The math is still there, but.
What do they need, by the way?
Well.
First of all, they would need something disastrous, which starts with a win tonight.
They would need to win out. So Put them at 39-43, and they would need Dallas to just go. Dallas, I think, holds the tiebreaker over them. So you would need Dallas to lose out.
Phoenix has the tiebreaker over Dallas, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So Dallas would have to go 1-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if Dallas goes 1-2 and Phoenix goes 4-0, or Dallas could go 0-3 and Phoenix could go 2-2.
What about the Sac Phoenix tiebreaker?
Sacramento.
3-1, I mean.
They play one more. And if Phoenix wins, that evens up the season series 2-2. The Phoenix Suns win the tiebreaker in that instance on division record. So the Phoenix Suns, assuming that they win out, they would win the tiebreaker over the Kings. So if the Kings also go 0-3 and the Phoenix Suns win out,
Phoenix could be the ninth seed. They can host a play-in game.
None of this is happening.
No, but
none of this is happening.
The math is there.
By the way, do you want to know who this?
So Blue may not be making your little cute trip to St. Kitts.
They play the Warriors tonight. Do you know who's in Phoenix tomorrow night?
No.
That would be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, I mean, they're mailing it in.
And then the San Antonio Spurs Friday, followed by a trip to Sacramento on Sunday. None of this is happening.
The Thunder are on a pretty dramatic skid.
No, they're not.
They've lost two in a row. I mean,
they've lost a couple basketball games.
The Thunder are reeling. And
the Thunder are going to cook tonight.
Against the Lakers?
That's a double-digit win.
What's the number?
9.5.
Okay. So you took the Thunder, you laid the 9.5.
Damn right I did.
Kukush. All right. He locked it in. Thank you.
It's 9.5, too. It's a good thing. I was about to click it at 15.5, and then JJ,
that was funny earlier.
JJ Redick announced that all them dudes are in. They're all in, but guess what? They're all going to be out. Like, they're going to play.
Yeah.
They're going to get pulled. They got to be in Dallas tomorrow night for Luka.
Yeah.
It's Luka night in Dallas tomorrow night.
It's Luka night.
They're not going to go blank to the wall tonight in Oklahoma City when you got Luka's return tomorrow night. Has the NBA regular season ever been better than this? In recent memory.
I'm trying to remember.
Give me a two-week stretch where the NBA regular season gave us this.
Well, and it's a little bit of a local bias because we're in it. If you are a fan look at the Eastern Conference. Orlando and Atlanta grinding for the seventh seed.
Yeah, no, that's
the Eastern Conference is a joke. So I do think that what you're saying for us here locally, it's a real thing. You've got Denver, the Clippers, the Warriors, Minnesota, and Memphis, five teams separated by a half a game.
That's what I mean. It's the whole Western Conference.
It's a good portion of it, and the Lakers are only 1.5 clear of Denver. And Denver fired their coach.
Right, you've had two coaches get fired.
It's been pretty crazy.
You've had a trade deadline that was epic.
It was big.
And then you've got seeds 3 through 8 in the West with 1 week to go. Actually, don't call it that. Six days to go.
Right, 4 games.
6 days to go, and 3 through 8 are all laying on the floor like dominoes. To see which one gets picked up the first. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We usually do not get this much drama. What we've had in a 2-month stretch has been incredible.
It's been wild. Yeah. And if you think about it, on the surface, Memphis is 8 right now. The Lakers are 3. Memphis is 2 back of LA. Memphis could, I guess, in theory, jump all the way up to 3. It would take a lot of complete collapses.
Yeah.
Lakers lose out. Denver, Clippers, and the Warriors. You know, the Warriors beat L.A., but win against nobody else. And so Memphis could get to 50-32, and nobody else could win 50, and Memphis could still be the 3 seed.
Grizzlies are going to win tonight. They're in Charlotte. They're already up 16 in the second quarter.
Long way to go. The Hornets are playing for pride.
No, they're not.
19-59.
I don't even know if there are enough Hornets for the game, let alone are they playing for pride. But Memphis is going to win tonight. And so that will be their 47th win. The Warriors better win tonight.
Yeah.
And that will be their 47th win.
And then Bloom can go ahead and buy that plane ticket that he's been delaying.
Actually already got him. But anyway.
Do you remember the last time that the Charlotte Hornets won a playoff series?
A playoff series? No, I don't.
Was Mark Grandy alive when the Charlotte Hornets won a playoff series?
Well, sure. I mean, what are you, 30?
No, he's 28.
He'll be 29 next month.
Right, ish. Like, you're asking me essentially if the Hornets have won a series in the last 30 years. I mean, I'll guess yes.
What year were you born, Grandy?
1996.
So going backward, they won a playoff series in 02, they won a series in 01, and they won a series in 98.
Okay.
So,
but give me my ding. Well, give me my ding.
It was not a real question.
Thank you.
Of course they have.
Correct
He's
answer.
He's 28. You that didn't know the last time they won a series, so I had to elaborate and get to a different question. You know
what that is.
The it's what it is me doing actually quality radio instead of game show music and then buzzer and laughing at you, which is what we normally do.
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal radio.
2002 is the last time they won a series. Yeah, so, sweet. Yes, Charlotte, 19-59, they're playing for pride.
They're not even playing at all.
They've never won a series where you had to win four games to win that series.
That's a great call.
Interesting.
How
about that? Interesting. Yeah, they have cut the 16-point deficit to 15. Yep. So that's exciting.
Playing for pride. Paul Silas was the head coach last time they won a playoff series.
I think your best chance tonight, Warrior fans, to get something to boogie is going to be Minnesota in Milwaukee. That's your best chance to have something really great happen. That could be a difficult game. Like, Minnesota's favored, but that could be a difficult game. And if they lose that,
yep,
and then they beat they play Memphis tomorrow
That's
night?
That's right, yep.
If the Wolves lose tonight and then they beat Memphis tomorrow, to me that's a big exhale. Because obviously you got to do, that means you go do your own thing. You beat Phoenix, you beat San Antonio, you beat Portland, you're in. That simple. You're in the top six. If you can just do that, that Sunday game would not kill you, even if you lost it. In that scenario.
Right, right.
That's what we're looking for. So, yep. Big Bucks fan tonight.
It starts tonight. And sure. We talked about it before. Handle your own. And
of
then,
course, of course.
You know, tonight's a tough one. It should be easy. I mean, it's not super tough, but Phoenix is a team that's given you a little bit of trouble over the years.
Sure, it could be a thing. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're moving toward Warrior basketball. Got a little over an hour to go. Let's dial it back up. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've been talking a lot of Jimmy Butler today. I got a Kuminga and Pods thing that I want to throw out there that we'll do in a little bit. Also, Greg Anthony, part of the TNT broadcast, is going to join us at some point here in the next half hour or so. We look forward to that on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark! Do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Look, I've got my comfort zone. You've got yours. And here we are. And this is a hell of an hour here. Okay? It's a hell of an hour. Greg Anthony's going to probably join us about 20 minutes. Part of the TNT broadcast. TNT is doing a little bit of a double dip tonight. They are currently broadcasting the Celtics-Knicks game. The Warriors and Suns will be next. But as Greg Anthony comes on, two games are going to tip off. Minnesota in Milwaukee, Lakers at OKC. Those are both about to tip off here in 20 minutes. So we're just going to get into a big bucket together and swim in these Western Conference waters and see where it goes. And then Dubs and Suns. There's also the nightcap Spurs at Clippers tonight, not expecting anything great to come out of that. So this is a game that the Warriors absolutely have to have. And we'll get into all of this from every angle, and we would love your phone calls throughout 888-957-9570. There's something you referenced earlier from Anthony Slater that I think we want to play here in a second about the way the Rockets defended Steph. One quick thing I just wanted to get off of my chest, and I'm going to freely acknowledge I don't think most of you – make a thing out of this, but I do hear it in multiple places, and it has started to get into my brain enough to where I'd love to say this out loud on our radio show. Okay. If you have a Warrior jersey on, I want it to go very, very well for you every time you do anything on the court. That's how I fan. That's how I go about it. I hear a little teeny tiny touch of some Warrior fans pitting Brandon Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga against one another. And I'm not sure I understand what's going on there. There's a comparison piece. Steve does this with Brandon, but he does that with Jonathan.
Brandon gets a longer leash to make mistakes than Jonathan does.
Okay, so do you believe that, or you're just puppeting what you hear people say?
I'm puppeting what I hear people say. I don't believe it. I do think that they are two completely different players, and the positions that they play are very unique in terms of the depth. And I think that the Jonathan Kuminga position is manned by more capable people along with Jonathan than the Brandon Pajemski position. With Pods, it's he and Steph Curry and a little Jimmy Butler who plays point guard.
Yeah,
some.
I mean, Draymond in some ways, at least on the offensive end.
But
yeah.
The Kuminga position is Jimmy, it's Moses, and a little bit of GP2. He kind of does that
a little bit. Ghee, maybe some Ghee Santos.
That's a great way to put it.
Yep.
So I do think that Kuminga's competition for playing time at his position is a lot different than Brandon's. Rankin. Yeah.
I think that's very, very well put. But that's also, to me, only one aspect of that conversation. So, A, if you want to vibe with, like, you know, not Jonathan's more replaceable because he's got a skill set that nobody else on the team has. I think we all fully understand that. They're both young players, but that's part of it. Like, they don't play the same position. So it's not an A to B. I heard a caller on Steiny and Goo today say, Brandon had four turnovers the other night. Jonathan only had three, and Jonathan got pulled, and Brandon didn't. So what's up with that? And I find moments, not all the time, moments where I feel the conversation around the word rotation, minutes, Kuminga, Pods, and Kerr has arrived at a level of toxicity. And I think that we got to get rid of that, man. Like, that's, I just, from my standpoint, that's not welcome here. Like, and I say that from the standpoint, I don't mean like any opinion is welcome, but like, if you're going to come from a place of you're into Warrior basketball, obviously you don't need to be into Warrior basketball. You don't need to be a fan. You can be a fan of the Lakers and listen to the show. You can be a fan of the Grizzlies and listen to this show. But if the whole idea is you've got emotion tied to the Warriors doing well, why are you comparing two players in such a way where it's like this one needs to shine and that one needs to pull back? And we need to pull this one when that happens and push that one forward when this happens. There has become almost, and I think this is a social media thing, I think it's the next generation of what David Stern started, but there is too much focus on individuality in the NBA. I would actually liken this conversation back to what we talked about for most of today with Jimmy Butler. And it's part of where I'm coming from. I don't want the Warrior game to be about Jimmy Butler being a dog. I want the Warrior game to be about the Warriors scoring more points than the other team. And however the hell we get there, snappy doodle. If Ghee scores 25, well, boy, didn't see that coming. But cook, young man, cook. And by the way, if he's got it going, yeah, Jonathan, stay over here for a sec. Ghee's on one tonight. Who knew? And Brandon, by the way, I don't think there's any way around the idea that over the last four games, something clicked and he is scoring the ball with a different level of confidence than he has before. And my God, the Warriors need that. So I want Jonathan Kuminga to look every time I see him like he did against the Lakers last week.
Exactly.
I would love that. I would love that. But it's not always going to look that way, and Brandon's not always going to look this way. And I'm sort of with Steph where it's like, boy, do we need to have some sort of come-to-Jesus conversation after every game about what each individual did? Like, I don't know, man. I want them all to play well, And there are going to be nights where certain guys don't have it and other people who play their position do, and that means you're going to sit more.
That's the way it's going to go. And I do think that Brandon gets a longer leash than Jonathan Kuminga, not to compare the two because they're different players, but you mentioned it, what Brandon has done over even the last five games. He had 27 against San Antonio, 8 in a win over Memphis. He had 28 against the Lakers. He had 26 against Denver.
Right.
And he had 19 in the loss on Sunday. So that's a five-game heater. And even before that, he was double digits in every game since he came back from his injury. Jonathan was amazing against the Lakers. And he was okay against Denver. And I just looked at all seven turnovers that those two committed against Houston on Sunday night. And two of Jonathan's three were absolutely inexcusable.
Yeah, they were rough.
Straight up giveaways. And the third one, he took the ball and he jumped to try to shoot and it flew out of his hands. And
no, so that's no big deal. That's
fine.
Right.
And, and Pods had one where he traveled. I didn't really think that he traveled, but the ref did.
That was that one where the pivot foot.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and whatever. It was a travel, and it's sure. A turnover, and so I'm not excusing it, but Pods also had two of his turnovers, which were inexcusably bad passes, and so it's not to pit one against the other, because if they both play well, you're probably going to win the game. And I mean, if Steph goes 1-for-10, then we'll forget about it. But if Steph is as good as he normally is, and Jimmy is too, and Draymond is, and you get a good game from Pods and a good game from JK, well, I like your chances, because then you just need either Buddy or Moody or GP or Quentin to play okay. But when Pods is doing what he's been doing, which is turning into a knockdown shooter, you're going to win games.
What'd you say the last five games of scoring was?
27, okay. 8, 28, 26, and 19. His last five.
Quick math. That means he's averaging over 20 a game?
He is averaging 21.6 over the last five. And that includes an 8-point game where he was 4 of 11 and you beat Memphis by 9. That was the game that was, you know.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Right.
Like, what? You know what I mean? I mean, the guy, this is not a subjective statement. He's been fantastic of late. And you know, like, I think I'm here to listen to someone say, like, you're going to need both of these guys to play well for them to go well in the playoffs. Sure. So why is one getting pitted against the other? And why that guy? Why Pods? I don't really hear any. I don't hear anybody do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Man, why did Moody get more minutes? I don't hear that. I don't. GP2, don't hear that. I don't hear this dichotomy, this discussion. It's always Pods. You know what I mean? We've all had the conversation over the last 3 weeks about why Kuminga becomes such a lightning rod for people. But in a mini way, so is Pods. And I don't think I really understand it. These are two interesting draft picks that the Warriors have made in the last 4 years. Pod's much more recent, but I'd argue, man, what a hit. At I think 2019, 2021, where was Pod's in the draft? It's a great pick. Yep. All rookie teams, started off this year like crap, got hurt, took a look at the game film, came out, has totally changed himself, and he's really had an imprint, a positive one, on the team at a time when Kuminga was hurt. Like, I love this dude. He's got a weird kind of funky game too.
Right.
That surprises people.
And I do think a lot of it stems from the way the year started for Pods, and I'm just looking at it through the end of November, 18 games, he averaged 7.7 a game, 21.5% from 3. So the early Pods, and he was really kind of docile and not really a part of the action. He couldn't shoot it from 3. He was mostly a non-factor. They went 11-7 in those games. And if you add in December, where he played until he got hurt on December 28th, he wasn't that much better. But I ran down the numbers on what he's done over the last five. And if you want to extrapolate that out even further, he has been an absolute, like, renaissance player. And you can give Jimmy some of the credit. And it's fair to do that because he's unlocked Moses and he unlocked Pods and
absolutely
all the rest of it. But Pods has been much, much better, and Kuminga's had great games, but it's the consistency with JK that I personally am looking for, and that's why in the Houston game you could see some of the plays that he didn't make, and Steve Kerr he made the call to not play him anymore. And it was the same thing for Moses, by the way. Moses Moody only played like 14 minutes against Houston because he was patently not very good.
Wasn't hitting a shot. We're going to go to the phones. You want to have a total random smile about something completely off the table?
Would love to.
You want a smile?
Yep.
Big old smile? Big old smile. Let me do time to do the legal, and then I'm going to give you a big old smile.
Okay.
Listen to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.